about to begin the sugya of Dover Aved. I feel like we have to split Dover Aved a little bit this year, a little bit hopefully in the summer for the summer. But the sugya of Dover Aved is really one of the fundamental sugyas in terms of Chol HaMoed. Of course, we're all familiar with the fact that Dover Aved is basically mutter Chol HaMoed, when there's a fear that someone's going to lose something. So that is permissible Chol HaMoed. And they're really two fundamentally different parts of the sugya of Dover Aved. One is just how to define it, what exactly is considered to be a loss, sometimes in contrast to a lack of profit, what's called a loss, what's called a lack of profit. So the Hagadorah of Dover Ovid, we're not really going to touch upon, the show not in today's year, probably not even in the next week either, we'll have to put that off till afterwards. But we're going to talk about it, the second aspect of Dover Ovid, namely, even assuming that we've identified a Dover Ovid, something meets the criteria of Dover Ovid, does it really mean that it's totally mutter? There are no limitations whatsoever on Dover Ovid? So we're going to see that that's not the case. That there are certain limitations, even within something that would otherwise qualify the Dover Ovid. So the first issue that we raise concerning Dover Ovid, even in a situation where we've identified something which does qualify as a Dover Ovid, does that mean that a person is allowed to do it in the normal fashion? You know, we know already from Chashabes that there are certain things that we permit if it's Kaliach Hayat, if it's done in an abnormal manner. Normally, Meloch is only also the Shuan Shabbos, or the Derais, if it's done in a normal fashion. So should we insist that if a person has something which is a Dover Ovid, that he do it, try to do it roundabout, try to do it in a way that doesn't violate an outright Meloch, or try to do it Kaliach Hayat, or with the Shinui if it's possible? Or do we say, no, that once it's mutter, it's mutter. It's not Shabbos. It's not Shabbos. We know that the rules are different. So once we have a Dover Ovid, if it qualifies as a Dover Ovid, then it's totally mutter. So this appears to be a Machlokes HaTanoim, in the first of the Rambam Kamos, and a Mishnah, Moikot, and Dr. Beis, and Aleph. One of the difficulties of learning Masechet Moikot, which is a difficulty in other Masechets also, but I find that the great difficulty of Moikot is identifying the cases. That very often, the Chazal, the Mishnayos were written 2,000 years ago, so the Mishnayos are describing situations that were common then. Very often in Masechet Moikot, Chazal don't tell you what the klal is. They don't tell you what the rule is. They give you this illustration, and it's understood that you're going to be able to figure out from the illustration what the rule is. The problem is very often we get very bogged down in the illustration itself, but we're not sure about a lot of the details of what the Metzius is, and sometimes we spend a lot of time trying to work out the Metzius, and then 20 minutes later half the time we don't succeed in figuring out the Metzius, and even when we do, we get lost in the shuffle with the klal is. So this is a classic example. The Mishnah begins, the chemish yena b'sachabor, that if a person has wine inside a vat, a pit, the era of the ones oshet u dolef zolef the gome the gof kedarko divra the yosi. So you just have to figure out what zolef and gomer and gof is all about. But Rabbi Yossi says that the key word that's most important for us is kedarko. You're allowed to do it in a normal fashion. Namely, you're allowed to take the wine. Apparently, it's got to get out of the bore. It's going to stay in the bore for longer, so it's going to get ruined. So you got to get it out of the bore into barrels. So Rabbi Yossi says, you can make your barrels, you can pitch on the barrels, you can park the barrels, whatever is necessary to get the wine into a safe place. So that would be mutter in Hilchas Chol HaMoed. The Mishnah is talking about Avel also, about Hilchas Avelos. We've already mentioned that some of the Hilchas of Avelos and Chol HaMoed are the same. Rabbi Yehuda Omer also, Limudim B'Shosh Lo Yachmes. Rabbi Yehuda says that true, there is a concern, there's a monetary concern that the wine may get spoiled if it remains where it is. So you're allowed to do something, but you have to be also lowly mudim. So the way the Rishonim explain what that means is, again, leaving out the details of how exactly to make barrels for wine, you have to do it in some abnormal fashion. You can't make a regular barrel. It's not business as usual in Chol HaMoed. You have to do it in such a way that you're allowed to save the wine. On the other hand, you have to do it in the cheapest, most inexpensive way, in a way that would not be the normal derech hamalacha. So we start out from this Mishnah, we see that there's a fundamental machlokes HaTanoim, whether or not we got all the details of it, whether we can actually paskin a barrel shayla in Chol HaMoed, it doesn't really matter. But there appears to be a major machlokes HaTanoim here between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, whether when we speak about something which does apparently lechulei ama qualify as Dover Aved, do we insist on doing a derech shinui or not? So Rabbi Yehuda says that there is such a requirement of doing things in an abnormal fashion, and Rabbi Yossi disagrees. So comes the Rambam. In the second of the Mar Mikamos, the Rambam Luchas Yomtiv for Exayin Aloch Avav. So the Rambam tells us, Misha Yisrael Tvur Mechuberas Lekarka, the Ein Lo Mayochal B'Moed, Elam Imen, if a person has grain
which is still attached to the ground, and he has to eat the grain, he has nothing to eat. Abba Bishayin can have said, even though there's no real loss to the grain if he waits till after Yom Tov, Eimat Svichanos al Liknos Mashiyocha min Ashuk, Ashi Yitzar Achar Avoed, he is not obligated to hold off with harvesting his grain till after Yom Tov, and we can insist that he goes to the store and buys food. And the Kotzer, Amir, Vidosh, Vizora, Ubora, Vitoche, Mashut Sorech, Shabbos again, so rather, I'm just going to do whatever you want. You're allowed to harvest, and you're allowed to gather, and you can thresh, whatever's necessary to get the grain with the dirt. And then the Rambam has a very vague statement. Ubuvash lo yadish beparos, but a person has to be careful when he threshes his grain on Chol HaMoed, so you have to be careful not to thresh it by using cows. You have to do it apparently in some abnormal fashion. And apparently the Rambam was saying that the normal way to thresh things in those days was by having the animal do it. So you got to do it in an abnormal fashion. You got to step on it yourself. I don't know how you're going to do it exactly. Why? Says the Rambam, shekol davar she'ein by hefsed tzorach l'shanos. Says the Rambam, whenever it's no big deal, whenever it's no big loss, so then you have to do things that are shinui, v'chein kol kayotze.
We're talking about Chol HaMoed.
Chol HaMoed, yeah. So, yeah, okay.
So if you don't let the cow do it, you're then going to talk about humans.
Right.
So that's worse.
I don't know, worse the better, but it's abnormal. So the rabbi,
but
when a person is leading the animal doing it, that alpi aloch is like him doing it anyway, quite possibly. So if he's controlling the cow, he's riding the cow.
Making him the fat, in other words.
Yeah, something like that, right. So it's off the shop. Yeah, oh, we're going to get to that also, yeah. So the one thing that's clear from the Rambam, again, leaving out the details as to who's exactly, how you're doing this threshing, the one thing that's pretty clear from the Rambam is that the Rambam does quote this concept of shinui. What is unclear from the Rambam is how far this concept of shinui goes. Is the Rambam really referring to Dover Ovid? Is it not a Dover Ovid? The Rambam started out speaking about something which wasn't a Dover Ovid, then at the end he sounds like it is a chashash of Dover Ovid. We're going to go with the Mahalach now of the Kesef Mishnah, when the Kesef Mishnah assumes that the Rambam is telling us that there is some kind of halacha of shinoi in all of Chol HaMoed, not just this particular case that Rambam is talking about, but in the more global issue of Chol HaMoed, namely Dabra Ovid, the sugya that we're learning right now. So comes the Kesef Mishnah and explains Pshat that the Rambam is as follows, that the Rambam understood that even though there is a machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, with a tzarech l'shanos or ein tzarech l'shanos, the Rambam understood that b'med v'mamurim, that there was such a machlokas, that's only where the shin is going to cost you something. When to do it in an abnormal fashion is not going to do it as efficient a job, and it's going to end up coming off of your cheshbon. Like, for example, the case of the barrels. So the case of Mishnah explains, in the case of the barrels, the Rabbi Yossi says that zolet v'golet v'daf kedarko, the Rabbi Yossi insists that you don't do a review this way. Don't do a shvacha barrel. The reason is because assuming that when you do it a shvacha barrel, you're going to lose some of the wine, whatever the case is. The details of the case doesn't matter right now. But says the Gesef Mishnah in Dasar Rambam, we could see that you would have a situation where it's a bona fide number of it, and you mamish have nothing at all to lose by doing it in an abnormal fashion. But you have to do it in an abnormal fashion, according to all opinions in the Gemara. That's how the Rambam sits to size up the machlokes of Rabbi Yossi. And other Rishonim disagree with the Rambam, most probably all the other Rishonim, none of the other Rishonim quote this idea of doing anything with a shinoi. All the other Rishonim paskin straight like Rabbi Yossi, that Rabbi Yossi says there's no need for a shinoi, there's only for a shinoi, there's never a need for a shinoi, even if it's a Eimo Hefsek Klal. So what we have here is really in a sense a twofold machlokes, a machlokes HaTanoi between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, and then we have a machlokes the Rambam and the other Rishonim within that machlokes. So the original machlokes Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda was, very simple. According to Yossi, there's no din of shinoi. According to Yehuda, there is a din of shinoi. What's the machlokes of Rishonim? So Rova Rishonim learned that according to Yossi, he meant what he said. There's no din of shinoi. Finished. End of discussion. There's no concept of doing a shinoi in Hilchos Chol HaMoed in terms of Dover Ovid. And according to the Rambam, no, not so fast. The machlokes of Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, according to the Rambam, was only if the shinoi interferes with the malachim. If that goof is going to cost you a loss of money. But if the shini is, as the Rambam's lashon was, davar shekol davar she'ein by hefset, nothing, there's no law, nothing, not going to lose anything by doing the shinui, then tzarech l'shanos.
Even
Rabbi Yossi. So what's the nekudas of machlokes? What are they arguing about? What is this? This arbitrary, whether you do need a shini, don't need a shini, what's really going on? So it would appear what is going on in the sugya is as follows. These are klalim that we spoke about in many, many different times over the years in different contexts. And very often we find in halacha that you have something which the ikaron is also, you have an activity you really shouldn't be doing. But some great need arises that forces us in the sense that the halacha permits us to do X, Y, and Z. We have this in so many different cases. So the driver car on Shabbos is a misadera. But the halacha says, if you have to, then you're permitted, you're obligated to do so. Or you have other cases, that's the emotional meal on Shabbos. So the Torah says, you're not allowed to draw blood on Shabbos, that's a misadera. Well, but the same Torah says, that you have to create the situations where there's a conflict, there's a clash, and the Torah says that X beats out Y. So the Gemara Masechet Yuma already raises the question, how do we understand when you have these types of conflicts? Is this Betorah as Dechuya or is this Betorah as Chutra? So Dechuya means that the Issus is the Bekama Omei. It means there's something wrong with what you're doing. When you're driving your car to the Aspal Shabbos, you're involved in an act of Chilul Shabbos. It's an act of Chilul Shabbos that the Torah tells you you have to do. What are you going to do? The Torah ties your hands. The Torah says the Chaybem. So the din of the Chaybem is Doich and Isser of Shabbos. But it's still called Chil Shabbos. Don't think that's Tuesday. It is Shabbos today, and you're being actively involved in Chil Shabbos. But the Chil Shabbos, the Torah says that Lingsbury you have to do. That's what the Chuyah means. Chutra is a different story. Chutra means that it's not Shabbos today for you. I mean, this is not a Maisav Erev Bechlal. This is nothing. This is not called Chil Shabbos. This is driving to the hospital on Tuesday. It's the same thing. So the Gemara has Minas Kamina. Sounds like it's a very academic child. At the end of the day, you have to do it. So at the end of the day, you have to do it. At the end of the day, you don't pop a chay for doing it. So Minas Kamina. So the Gemara says in Masechet Yuma, the original case of the Gemara was the din of Tumah B'tzibur. There's a halacha that if you have a korban tzibur, it has to be brought. So korban tzibur is doch the regular din of Tumah. Normally a kohen whose stomach can't go to the base of mikdash, can't offer a korban. But for the purposes of a korban tzibur, that would be permissible. So the Gemara says the same shayla. What's the din? Is that the chuyah? Is that the trup? My nafkamina, so what's nafkamina is, how much do you have to avoid it? So you have two kohanim in front of you, one's tummy, one's tahor. If you have to dafka go for the kohen who's tahor, so the Gemara says depends. If you hold that tumah is b'chuyah b'tzibur, you have to bend over backwards to avoid it. If you hold that tumah is hutra b'tzibur, so it's about to finish. It's ke'ilu he's tahor, so you don't have to worry about it, you don't have to be concerned with it at all. So that seems to be the same shayla when it comes to chus cholamayit as well. We have this halacha, that on the one hand, you're not allowed to do malacha and cholamayit. On the other hand, So what's the other Dabra Avid is Mutter? Dabra Avid is Mutter in the sense like we grit our teeth, you know, we're upset about it, it's chaval, that it's, we have to violate Uchus Chol HaMoed, but what can you do? The halacha says that Dabra Avid is going to be Mutter. So let's begin at the Chuya. Is that shot in the heter of Dabra Avid? It's like, never chatar chasav amon ishe Yisrael. What can you do? No, waste prayer, we have to do something which would otherwise qualify as an Aveira. Would you say no? It's not an Aveira. The halacha never prohibited malacha b'makom davar avid. Again, whether it's the raisa, the rabbanon, with the klal of davar avid, where it comes from. But at the end of the day, when you have a situation of davar avid, so it's hetagam, it's klat, it's mahadrim and mahadrim. It's hetagam, you know, I'm not doing malacha. For me, this is not considered to be malacha. So what's the nature of the heter of davar avid? Is davar avid similar to dechuya, or is davar avid similar to hutra? So clearly Rabbi Yehuda took a stand on this issue. Rabbi Yehuda said that when you fix your barrels of Chalamayit, you have to do it in a Meshuladik way. You can't make regular barrels. You have to do, also move them, you got to do it in a roundabout way. Why did Rabbi Yehuda insist that you do it in a roundabout way? So clearly Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion that Melechas Dabra Aved of Chalamayit is the Chuyah. It's because she is hero. It's something that we try to avoid. You got to bend over backwards, not to violate the Yisrael. Never keep it Rabbi Yehuda concedes. If you can't do it, you can't do it. You gotta do it in a normal way. But any way that you could do it, that's not gonna be so terrible, that you have to mamish bend over backwards to avoid violating the issue. So that was clearly Rabbi Yehuda's shita. But now the question becomes, what does Rabbi Yossi say? On what nakuda does Rabbi Yossi disagree? Now we know Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Allah Rabbi Yossi. So what was he gonna possibly make Rabbi Yossi? There's no question about that. But what exactly does Rabbi Yossi disagree with Rabbi Yehuda on? So this is where the Rishonim differ. So comes the Rambam and says, Rabbi Yossi agrees primarily to Rabbi Yehuda's premise. Rabbi Yossi concedes that Dovra Ovid is a Shvachik Ula. Dovra Ovid is not something that's glad. Not Mutal Lechet Chila to do Dovra Ovid. It's also a Shvachik Ula. It's also Beged Dechuya. So what was in the Kudus and Machlokus of Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi? So whereas Rabbi Yehuda took the approach that, okay, it's dechuya, and then you gotta grit your teeth, and you gotta suffer, and it's gonna cost you a little bit, Rabbi Yossi says no. Rabbi Yossi says, this particular case of fixing the barrels, if you're going to fix the barrels the way Rabbi Yehuda is telling you, you may end up with another oven on your hands. That means if you're going to fix the barrels and so they're half-broken barrels, so that goofa may end up to be a number of it. In effect, according to the Rambam, the machlokas of Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi was a much more limited machlokas. It was a detailed machlokas within the barrel-making process. Rabbi Yehuda says you get away with the cheaper barrels, and Rabbi Yossi says, no, you don't have to risk it. You don't have to risk the cheap barrels, because that may goofa end up causing a number of it. But Louis
does not bring together
barrels. He clearly calls to Rabbi Yossi, passing to Rabbi Yossi.
Not in a barrel.
No, he calls it possibly to be also in the case of the barrels. But the Rambam's opinion, not this particular Rambam, not the Rambam comes to not possibly Rabbi Yossi. So, but the Rambam understood that even Rabbi Yossi never meant to give you a green light to everything in Chol HaMoed. He was mad at this particular case because he felt this is also going to be subject to Dover Ovid. But if from the Rambam you're going to find a case where there's no Dover Ovid, there's no Hesse, it's zero Lamish. So if you can do it in an abnormal fashion and it won't cost you a penny, says the Rambam, you better believe you have to do it. Well, actually, you're the Shpaparos. That's what the Rambam would think about my cup. And you're not allowed to thresh in the normal fashion because by Nefkamina, the grain's going to be threshed anyway, whether you do it in a normal fashion or in the abnormal fashion. So the Rambam held that even with the Don, even we who accept the BLC, still agree to Rabbi Yehuda's fundamental halachic premise of the Chuya. And that was goofy where all the other Rishonim disagreed with the Rambam. All the other Rishonim held that this Shiloh with the whether a davar oven and chalamayid is the chuya hushra, that was good for the machlokes of Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda said that you have to do it there shinui because Rabbi Yehuda held it was began there the chuya, and Rabbi Yossi said no, I disagree with that very nekuda. Rabbi Yossi says you're allowed to do it in a normal fashion. Dafka because I'm of the opinion that it's hushra, then it's not the chuya. So when all is thus settled, everybody agrees that Rabbi Yehuda holds it the chuya. There's no other way to understand Rabbi Yehuda's shita. But we don't care that much about Rabbi Yehuda. We care about Rabbi Yossi. We pass like Rabbi Yossi. So that's the Nekudas of Machlokes, the Rambam and the other Rishonim. Did Rabbi Yossi concede to Rabbi Yehuda's lamdas, just disagreed a little bit with the Metzius of the barrels, or did Rabbi Yossi fundamentally disagree with Rabbi Yehuda's whole lamdas?
We hold that on that Shabbat, the Chuya.
The Kulevish, not so possible.
According to Rabbi Rishon, is there a fundamental difference between Shabbos and Chol
HaMoed? Yeah, but at the end of the day, it's very, very hard to extrapolate from one to another, because the Gemara has a Shalom by Tumman and by Avodas. Avodas B'Shabbos and Rishon have by Esed Nechalos. Not necessarily the answer to every question is the same in terms of the Chuyah. There are probably differences
between them. What is the difference between the Chuyah and the other one? Let's say, because of Pikuach Nefesh, you're driving someone to the hospital. At that point, you got them to the hospital, your license has ended.
Yeah, for sure.
So this way you can't park the car.
Right, for sure, right.
For one, yes, but for the other, no. For Hutra, if it's Hutra, you can do whatever you have to do.
It's Hutra calls man that it's Pikuach Nefesh. Yeah, even if you hold that it's Hutra, once Pikuach Nefesh is over, then it's over. So this halacha of Dovra Aved may have a limitation of Shinui, at least the way the Rambam understood it, but Lamaisa, we don't pass like this Rambam. Rav Rishonim disagree, and Mishnah Berurah points out that from Mishtimus Aposkim, this Rambam is not quoted in Halacha. So it seems to me that we do accept the opinion that Levidon, the father of Yelsi, it's Mamish together with Shinui. But Abba Bichain, there are limitations on Dovra Aved, that we shouldn't think that just because he passed like Yelsi, Mamish has our green light. The Mishnais themselves give us certain, the Gemara themselves give us certain limitations on the of it. So if you take a look at the back of the first page, so the top line mark over there, like cutting the days of an hour, the very first Mishnah, in my cotton, if it speaks about the of it, so the Mishnah says, Mashkin beis hashloch in the moment of the shvias, that a person is permitted to irrigate his fields, certain types of fields that require irrigation, both on Chol HaMoed as well as on Shemitah, and Shemitah is not that concerned right now, but one is permitted to irrigate the field on Chol HaMoed, maybe Mayin Shatsa B'tchila, maybe Mayin Shliyot B'tchila, you're allowed to use different types of springs to irrigate, again, the Gemara has details as to why that's important, but not for now. Aval Ein Mashkin Lo B'Meh D'Shav Lo Meh Kilo. However, the Mishnah says that one is not permitted to irrigate one's field by using rainwater. What would that mean by using rainwater? So the Gemara explains by going and filling up barrels and buckets and actually walking over the water in order to irrigate the field. What's going on? What's the difference? Why are you allowed to work on the spring? If you get the spring going, but you're not allowed to carry a bucket. So the Gemara explains, because carrying the buckets is going to be a problem of Tircha Meruba. It's going to be very, very difficult. You're going to work up a sweat, carry schlep in the water. So that's a problem. So comes the Gemara and says, from here, from this Mishnah, you see two basic halachas of Chol HaMoed. Number one, the davar of it is mutter. The field doesn't get irrigated, the crops are going to die. And number two, the limitation, that even though it's mutter to irrigate the field, even though it qualifies as a classic davar of it, one has to be careful not to do it derech Tircha Meruba. So this halacha, that you have to be careful when you do davar avid, not to do it derech tircha meruba, so this becomes somewhat problematic. In light of one of the sugyas all about the barrels, we'll leave out all the details of the barrels right now, but in that whole sugya of barrels, so the Gemara told us the following chiddush, in one old discussion about if a person has wine, and the wine is already in the barrels, and the barrels are breaking, so you allow to repitch the barrels to fix them up. So the Gemara draws possible distinction between small barrels and big barrels. What's the issue? So the Gemara says, on the one hand, the small barrels are much easier to fix. On the other hand, the hefset is much less. There's very little wine inside the smaller barrels. On the other hand, the big barrels are harder to fix, but lemaisa, there's more of the hefset involved. So the Gemara, the whole discussion back and forth, should we be mounted this, should we mount that? In the end, the Rishonim say we mount the both. The end of the day, it comes out that one is permitted to fix up the big barrels, even though the Gemara uses the lashon that it's yesh ben tircha. So come all the Rishonim and bottom of the question, if the very basic heter of davar aved is limited right then and there, the beis hamidalef, by that you're not allowed to do it with the rainwater, and the reason being because davar aved is mutter, but derech tircha meruba is aser. So what's the difference between the barrels that you're allowed to fix, even though the Gemara does consider that to be tircha meruba? Why do we sometimes find tircha meruba is mutter on Chol HaMoed, and sometimes we find tircha meruba is aser? So here we have a problem. What is the difference between filling up the buckets of rainwater, which the Mishnah says the Ferish is Osir, and the Gemara explains the reason is because Tircha Meruba Bidavar Avid is not Osir. What is the difference between that and fixing up the barrels, even though they're big barrels, even though there's a Tircha Meruba in them? It seems to me that Davar Avid trumps the issue of Tircha Meruba. So what exactly is the cloud? How do we resolve these two things? So come to Sefer HaChinuch, and tells us in Mitzvah Shilchav Gimel that there are two klolim in terms of davar avid. So says the Sefer Chinuch, Ramu Zichron Lebracha, Shechashu Mashkel So Lo Yashkeim Imei Abreicha Imei Agishamim. The Chazal themselves said that when you irrigate your field in Chol HaMoed, you shouldn't use water from a pool or water from some rainwater, which you can have to schlep over. Sheyesh B'davar Tarech Harbeis. The Gemara says Abeis in Moed Kotz, because that's a big tircha. Rather, you have to try to get the spring and try to move the spring over, try to divert the water from the spring and get it to irrigate your field. Apparently, that would be less of a tircha. Hareisha chmiru bezek. Now, Sefer Chinuch is observing. What do you see from this halacha? Hareisha chmiru bezek tzas shelo l'tzroach b'dovet torach rav. So he says that you see the Chazal are careful, they have to not to be matriach too much on Chol HaMoed. Why? So the Sefer Chinuch is telling you, because after all, what's the tremendous tzorach in what you're doing? You're only doing it to make sure that your garden remains fresh. Here's the key word, the Shema. Because maybe, tivash kula mitzasa, because if not, then your garden may die, your grass may die, your vegetables may die, whatever the case may be. Shema tivash kula mitzasa, that we're afraid that something may happen, you may experience a davar avid. So then comes the Sefer Chinuch and continues, Aval, v'chol malacha ha'aveda ovadei krov lehafzed, im lo yaseh lebenoid. What if you have a situation where it's, in a sense, worse than Shema Tivash? It's Krovel Hefzed. There's an excellent chance that it's really going to get ruined. Kigo, Yishayesh lo Zaysim, Yarish lo Yosidu, Imlo Yotzio, Mehen Shimon Miyad, if you have olives that have to be pressed, otherwise they're going to get ruined. Oh, another lo Yidrach Osam Miyad, or if you have grapes that have to be pressed, if you don't squeeze out the juice right away, they're going to get ruined. Oh, Kol Dover Kayotzim, Lo Hechmir Bazev, Lo Choshu Lo Torach Rav. So under these circumstances, Chazal never instituted this Chumrah of Tircha Meruba being Osir. Says the Sefer Chinuch, that over here you're allowed to do it mamish in an abnormal fashion, I'm sorry, in a normal fashion, below shum shinoi, below not being concerned with tircha, it's a hetagam, it's a green light, when it's a vade, a karm vade of davar avid. So what the Sefer Chinuch is, in effect, answering for us is the steer between the two commands. Says the Sefer Chinuch, not all Dover Ovid are created equal. There's a Dover Ovid where we're pretty sure it's going to cost you something, and then there's a Dover Ovid where it may cost you something, you know, 30% chance that it may cause you a loss, but it's not by any chance, by any stretch of imagination, B'Torah's Vaday. Says the Sefer Chinuch, at the end of the day, Dover Ovid is Mutter, even Sofek Dover Ovid is Mutter. That is true. It says the Sefer Chinuch, something which is only a Sofek Dover Ovid, so then Chazal put the brakes on it. Chazal said, it's not a Vaday Dover Ovid, it's not a Bikarul Vaday Dover Ovid. We're going to let you do it, but we're going to let you do it in a very limited fashion. We're going to insist that you do it not Derech Tircha Merubah. If it's a Vaday Dover Ovid, Karul Vaday, then it's Mutter Begamre. So the Sefer Chinuch, this distinction clearly addresses our contradiction. So the case of the field, when we put the brakes on, we said, no, there's a limit how you do it. You have to do it not invoking Tircha Merubah. So that is because, presumably, that's only a suffix. Shema, Tivash, Gimelsai. Vashanki, the case of the barrel with the wine, so then you're allowed to do it in Mamish in a normal fashion. I said Tircha Merubah, that'll work up the sweat. That's Mutter, because that's a valid Dover of it. That's how the Sefer Chinuch is clearly resolving the contradiction. L'chora, this Sefer Chinuch is somewhat controversial, because if you remember, we spoke about it in the past. We spoke about why is it that Sofek Dover Ovid is Mutter. So the Shibur and Rai is from Rishayim that Sofek Dover Ovid is Mutter. Why is that? So we gave you a story based in the Ritva. The Ritva says, why is it that Dover Ovid is Mutter in the first place? So the Ritva explained it's a psychological Tzor Chayom. So we don't want people to be agitated on Cholomoy. So if a person is going to be upset about his field getting ruined, so that's going to share him because Yontif. So as we all know, people get upset not only about Vaday Dover Ovid, people get upset about Sofek Dover Ovid. If I would walk into shul in Chol HaMoed and say, the guy's in the middle of davening Muslim, he's singing Hallel, he's enjoying himself, and I tell you, listen, there's a 30% chance that your field may get, your crops may get destroyed. So the guy's going to go nuts on the 30% also. So according to the Ritva, it says that Dover Ovid is measured in the sense of Agmas Nefesh, it's measured in the sense of aggravation and Yontif. So it's very hard to put a barometer on Sofek versus Vaday. See, according to the Sefer Chinuch, it sounds like Dover Ovid is more of a function of financial loss. Is this really a concern? Is it a 95% financial loss or is it a 25% financial loss? So according to the Sefer Chinuch, that a Tarech Hasam, a man in Yisrael, so when it's a very, very big Tarech, then we let you do it normally. It's not such a big Tarech, then we do it less. Mashenken, according to the Rizvo, says that it's not the money that really matters. It's not the percentage that really matters. What really matters is the stress that it's causing. You can't ask the wine expert anymore. Then you got to give a psychological exam to the person. On how much stress are you based on something versus Vada? It's very, very hard to make such calculations, obviously. So the Sefer Chinuch doesn't seem to be going the root of the Ritva. It seems to be understanding that Dover Ovid really is a financial issue, and the HVH, then how much of a gamble is it? It's a really big gamble. Then we'll be more making with you. It's not such a big gamble. We're going to be more ma'achma with you.
And we don't put into the cheshbon that had he done X and Y on Erev Yontif, he wouldn't be in this position.
So that's the question. Is it Mechav Malach Tevimoyed? If he knew about X and Y, and he could have done it, and should have done it, then in Echonami, then it's Mechav Malach Tevimoyed, and Mechav won't let him do anything in Chol HaMoed. But if he didn't realize what was going on before Chol HaMoed, or he did realize it, he tried to fix it, he couldn't fix it, and that's time to fix it, whatever the case is, as long as it's not an outright Mechav Malach Tevimoyed, then we will still invoke the Hefter of the Avraham. But there appear to be other answers in the Poskim to this apparent contradiction. We don't want to go the root of the Sefer Chinuch to distinguish between Sofek versus Vaday. So there may be other answers as well. So the Beis Yosef, I don't know whether I put the Beis Yosef on the Marmakomos. I don't think so. The Beis Yosef seems to suggest that the difference is that in one Gemara is talking about Malachas Mechubar, another Gemara is talking about Malachas Tolush. What exactly does that mean? So in the case of Moikot and Dav Beis, when we talk about irrigating fields, we talk about a field, we talk about mamash work out in the field. So that we're a little bit more machmer on. Ken Tich Merub is also. Mashainkin, when we're dealing with barrels, the houses already Malachas Tolush. So Malachas Tolush, that's less of a problem. We're going to be a little bit more make on that. Why exactly is that? What? It's not connected to the ground anymore. So what's the Svar L'chalek? So the Beis Yosef seems to suggest that there's a throwback that we spoke about weeks ago, almost months ago, and we introduced this as Chol HaMoed. We said that Chol HaMoed is so confusing. The basic question about Chol HaMoed is unresolved. Is Chol HaMoed the Raisa? Is the Rabbanan? Where did Yisrael come from? So we saw that there was a suggestion that appeared in the Ramban and the Masechta Vedazara that there may be a difference between Malachas Mechubar versus Malachas Tolosh. Malachas Mechubar That's like the ultimate malacha. The guy's got his overalls out there in the field, his farming, his land. The harsh of a kata tishma. I say, mecha malachas, malacha hasura, gol mizem, malachas mechuba. Say, okay, malachas talush. Okay, malachas talush. A little household, you know, odds and ends. It's malacha. Islam has malachas also, malachas talush. But it's somehow, qualitatively, it's a different type of malacha. So there was some Rishon who maintained that the Isser, the Araisa of Malachas Chalamoid is limited only to Malachas Mechubah. If that would be true, then we would understand this Chiluk as well. They called the Tikkun Rabbani Gain the Araisa Tikkun. And even though the Halacha permits you to do Malachas Avra Aved, the Chachamim got very nervous when they saw Malachas Mechubah. They saw a guy out in the field, Mamish, working away, he's irrigating his field. So they said, listen, it's mutar, but we're going to put the brakes on. We're going to tell you there are limits how you have to do it. You can't be matriach too much for malachas mechubah. Malachas tolerance, do whatever you want. It's in the prize in your own home anyway. It's not out of the field. You're thinking about barrels. Now you're sweating a little bit. Nishka fell. That's what the Beis HaYosef seems to present, this idea, a difference perhaps between sometimes davar avid is mutar legamre and sometimes davar avid is questionable.
Would you say then that maybe like mechubah is...
Maybe something similar to that. Similar type of idea. Right. So the Mishnah Berurah, when he quotes this halacha, so he seems to go neither of these two routes. He seems to not go take the route of the Sefer Chinuch, that didn't seem bad, there's a Sopek, nor the route of the Beis HaYosef, this similar difference between Mechubah and Talush. The Mishnah Berurah presents it in terms of Mamish Dalas and sense, that says the Mishnah Berurah, it could be that it depends, that everything is a trade-off, says the Mishnah Berurah. On the one hand, we want to make sure that people don't lose too much money in Chol HaMoed. On the other hand, we want to make sure people aren't matriach too much in Chol HaMoed. So says the Mishnah Berurah, for us to invoke a chumrah to say, don't do this in Chol HaMoed. It's too much of a sweat, too much of a tircha, and therefore don't do it in Chol HaMoed. So says the Mishnah Berurah, we're not going to do that all the time. If the hefset is not significant quantitatively, so then we may end up putting the brakes on the head of Malachas Dabra. Also, in the case of the crops, are the crops really going to die? The vegetables are going to dry out a little bit. They'll still be usable. They'll still be sellable. So says the Shabura, when the level of Dabra Ovid is not so great, not in terms of Vavir and Sofik to say for Chinuch, but in terms of monetary dollars and cents, when the level of hefset is not so great, so now we're going to insist that the level of Tircha shouldn't be too great as well. In the case of the barrels, where the level of hefset is significantly higher, so then the leeway in terms of the tircha is going to be higher as well. So we seem to have three different approaches as to what exactly is the nekuda. We have seemingly contradicting the statements by Chazal in terms of tircha merubah. Do we put the brakes on when there's tircha merubah? Do we let you do whatever, give you a green light, even when there's tircha merubah? So the barrel seems to give us the green light, whereas the irrigating the field seems to be tell us that it's also. So what's the resolution to that? So the Sefer Chinuch went the route, difference between Vade versus Sofek. So the Shaisa seems to know the difference between Tolosh versus Mechubur. And the Mishnevura seems to know the route that there are no categories per se. It's not much a case-by-case basis. And the issue is not Vade versus Sofek, but rather the issue is money versus money. It's the greater davar aved, so we're going to be more makelon. The lesser davar aved, we're going to be more machmaron. So at least we have some ideas as to some of the parameters as to what possibly stops davar aved. Certain limitations in davar aved. I'll mention next week. We'll continue a little bit more about other certain possible limitations in terms of davar aved. Well, hopefully, next week we'll be able to get
around. I'll be your attendant. I'm still on 75.